is a blue. Shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck, and the reason that you had to care, the traffic is stuck.
Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show on today, Monday, the 21st of May 2018. I hope you're all feeling well and you had a great weekend. We have a great show ahead of you this morning. We're going to have a chat about milk and the different types of milk and what can be healthy for you and perhaps what's not so healthy in milk. And we're also going to have a chat about food labels, because there's a lot of misconception about food labels and they're quite easy to misinterpret if you don't know what you're looking for. So we're going to have a chat about food labels, how you can read them and how you can also read ingredients labels too. And we have a special guest on the show this morning. We have a good friend of mine, John Nicholson. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning, Neil. I'm fine, thank you.
John is from the Community Driving School and we're going to be finding out more about what John does and his background and how the Community Driving School works in about 20 minutes or so. So tune in, listen in and find out more about what John does and how he can potentially help you. If you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show and the hashtag is hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Tweet in, say hi, ask for a shout out and I'll give you a mention. And we've got a couple of shout outs to do in about 10 minutes or so. Or you can find the show's Facebook page. If you search Health Matters Radio Show, you'll be able to communicate with me via Facebook. And if you like the page, you'll be able to be kept up to date with regular information about the show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally by email, you can contact me via my website, which is i-nutrition.co.uk. We also got music on the show today from 1981. So we've got some classics from The Police, from Kim Carnes, and also from Ultravox. So a quick disclaimer before we start. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide you with competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform, and enlighten you in ways that you can improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, please speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. And all content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and often my opinion. And I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So milk. Now, when we talk about milk, most people think cow's milk. And certainly over the last few years, there have been a lot of alternatives that have come onto the market. So you have things like soya milk and hemp milk and rice milk and coconut milk and almond milk. And it seems like almost anything can be made into a milk these days. But the most popular is still cow's milk. Interestingly, we are the only species that drinks the milk of another species, which I thought was quite an interesting fact. But when we talk about cow's milk, obviously we have the main three choices. We have full-fat milk, we have semi-skimmed milk, and we have skimmed milk. Now, lots of people choose skimmed milk or red-top milk, as it's commonly known, because they think it's the healthy option because it's low in fat. If it's low in fat, therefore it's low in calories. But there's some recent research out that suggested that skimmed milk is not as healthy as we would like to think it is. Just because the fat's been taken out doesn't actually make it a healthy option to, say, for example, semi-skimmed milk. And we'll come on to semi-skimmed in a moment. So with skimmed milk, one of the biggest problems is when they take the fat out, they also get rid of a lot of the fat-soluble nutrients that are in the milk in its natural form. And these are particularly vitamins A and vitamins E. So people that depend on and drink lots of skimmed milk can become deficient in vitamins A and E, which obviously then causes other health issues. One of the other issues with skimmed milk is when fat is removed from full fat milk, the milk actually turns blue. And not many people realise that. But funnily enough, blue milk is not particularly saleable. So what they do is they put a compound called titanium dioxide back into the skimmed milk, and the result of that is it turns the milk white again, and it makes it commercially viable, and it ends up on our shelves, and we think it's a healthy option. Now, whilst titanium dioxide, I think it's E171 is its E number, titanium dioxide is classed as a approved food additive, obviously, because obviously they wouldn't use it otherwise. There have been a number of studies recently that have suggested that titanium dioxide could be, when consumed, a carcinogen. And certainly when titanium oxide powder is breathed in, it is a cancer-causing agent. So again, do your own research. If you like skim milk, do your own research into it and make your own mind up. But certainly from a nutritional point of view and a health point of view, I don't recommend skimmed milk. I always suggest to people go for a green top, go for the 1.6% or even better, the 1% fat milk. So there's a bit of fat in it, but not as much fat as blue top. And really the only people that need blue top milk are people that maybe are recovering from an illness or young children. But for most adults, blue top milk, there's just too much fat in it. So my view, my opinion, my advice is to go for orange top if you can get it, or purple top, I think, in some supermarkets, but 1% fat milk. And if you can't get 1% fat milk, then semi-skimmed is a good alternative. There's also lactose-free cow's milk. Now, some people claim to be lactose-free, and lactose is the sugar in milk. And indeed, lactose can cause digestive issues in some people. And some people choose to go for the lactose-free milk, which has obviously had the lactose removed, and it has an enzyme called lactase added to it. And it's good for people that are lactose intolerant, and nutritionally wise, it's as good as cow's milk. But interestingly, a lot of people that are or claim to be lactose intolerant don't have an issue so much with the lactose or the sugar in milk. They have an issue with the protein in the milk. Now, most commercial cow's milk is what's known as A1 protein. And A1 is a difficult protein for some people to digest. And it does cause digestive issues. An alternative to normal cow's milk is A2 protein. And A2 protein milk is much easier on the gut, and it's easier to digest than A1 milk. So if you have an issue with cow's milk and you're not diagnosed lactose intolerant, it could be the protein in the milk. So perhaps, again, do your own research, but perhaps look at A2 protein cow's milk. It's normally above the normal big bottles of milk. They come in cartons, but A2 protein cow's milk might solve the digestive issues that you might be having that might be misdiagnosed as lactose intolerant. Goat's milk. We've got goat's milk, which is another option for cow's milk. It's got smaller fat particles and it's got less lactose. So again, goat's milk is better on the digestive system than cow's milk and is a good option for people who can't tolerate cow's milk. It's got a slightly slightly sweet taste and a strong flavour. And it tastes slightly salty. It doesn't really make it sound very nice, but I know there's lots of people who like goat's milk, and you can cook with it as well. It's good for use in most recipes. Soya milk, big in the market at the moment. It's got similar protein content to cow's milk. It's low in fat. If you're going to buy soya milk, make sure it's got non-GMO on the label, because about 95% of soya in the world is genetically modified. And the companies that use non-GMO soya will put it on their label. If it isn't on the label, assume it is genetically modified and choose another brand. There are issues with soya in terms of kind of messing up hormones a little bit and estrogen levels. So again, please do your own research. But as an alternative to cow's milk, it is a viable alternative, and it's often fortified with calcium and vitamins as well to obviously mimic the nutrients in cow's milk. Almond milk is a blend of almonds and spring water. It's good for vegans and anyone avoiding animal products. It is fortified with B12, and if you're a vegetarian, B12 deficiency is a big issue, I should say. It's got a slightly nutty flavour, as you would expect coming from almonds. But for day-to-day use, the unsweetened choice is a better choice to make. And you can also use it for cooking as well. Coconut milk is made from pressed coconuts. They add calcium to it, because there isn't much calcium naturally in coconuts. But it's lower in protein than other plant-based milks, and it's also higher in saturated fat than other plant-based milks as well. But it's good for vegetarians. Obviously, it tastes a little bit like coconut, but it can be used in teas and coffees, and it can be used on cereals as well. Hemp milk is a blend of hemp seeds, and hemp milk is fortified with calcium and vitamin D. It's a slightly sweet taste, and it's actually quite nice in hot drinks, so tea and coffee, coffee in particular. And you can use hemp milk for cooking as well. Oat milk is made from oats, as you would expect, and again, it's enriched with vitamins and calcium. The good thing about oat milk is it is low in saturated fat. It's quite a creamy milk, but it's got a slightly powdery aftertaste, which some people don't mind. And some people don't like. So, oat milk is a bit of a polarizing milk. I tend to find people either love it or they hate it. And the last one is rice milk. Now, rice milk is very sweet. It is low in protein, so that's one of the downsides, but it is fortified with calcium. And for people who don't like soya milk or can't tolerate dairy, rice milk is an interesting alternative. It is sweet, but it is quite taste neutral. And also, it doesn't give drinks their milky colour, a bit like skimmed milk. You can put skimmed milk in a cup of coffee, it doesn't really change the colour that much. Well, rice milk is the same. Because it's quite thin, it's also quite difficult to cook with. So people that cook with rice milk tend to add a bit of extra flour to thicken up the sauces. So there you go, there's some choices there in milk. It's not just about cow's milk or the common ones that we know, which is normally either soya or almond milk. There's some nice alternatives there. Again, it's down to personal taste, what you're trying to get from your milk. Some people don't drink milk for ethical reasons, and I totally understand that. If you're going to drink cow's milk, just to reiterate the point, 1% fat milk or 1.6% fat milk, which is orange top or green top, in my opinion, are the best choices. I would stay away from blue top completely, and red top skim milk isn't particularly healthy for you either. And if you go for one of the alternatives, then I've tried most of them. I would tend to shy away from soya milk personally, but I quite like rice milk. It has got quite a nice taste to it. So there you go, all about milk. After the break, we are going to have a chat to our guest, John Nicholson from the Community Driving School. But before we interview John and find out more about what he does, we've got a great song from 1981. It's The Police, and Everything She Does Is Magic. Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. I hope you're all keeping very well out there. And we have on today's show our special guest, John Nicholson from the Community Driving School. And we'll be finding out more about what John does in a moment. Just a quick reminder of the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show, with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. You can tweet in, say hi, ask for a shout out, and I'll give you a mention on air. And you can also find the show's Facebook page if you search Health Matters Radio Show. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally, you can send me an email by finding my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. I have a couple of shout outs this morning. We have a shout out from my good friend Terry Botfield, and Terry runs the networking groups down on Romney Marsh and around the Dymchurch area. And Terry's got a couple of events coming up in the next couple of days. Tomorrow on Tuesday the 22nd, he has a networking event at 5 o'clock in Dymchurch. And on Thursday, he has a breakfast networking event at 7:45 in Dymchurch. If you'd like to find out more about those networking events, please go to botfieldassociates.co.uk and click on the Marsh networking link, and all the Romney Marsh networking events are on that page. And also had a request in from my good friend David Minter. David is a stonemason who is based in Herne Bay. And David's asked for a shout out for his business. So if you need anything to do with stonemasonry or tiling or anything like that, please do give David a quick call. His number is 01227 687 145, and he can help you with that. Okay, so on to our special guest interview this morning, John Nicholson from the Community Driving School. Good morning, John. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Neil. I'm fine, thank you.
Fantastic. It's great to have you on the show this morning. And it's very interesting what you're trying to do and what you're trying to achieve and how you're trying to change the world. It's fantastic. So we're going to find out more because it's a little bit out of the ordinary. When I first met John, didn't really understand what he was trying to do because it was so different. And then when you really understand the mission that John's on, I have to say it's quite something. I think it's gonna change the world. So good on you, John. So let's find out more about John and also about the driving school. And it's a driving school quite like no other. So John, let's start with your background. Tell me how you got to where you are now. A bit about your early life. If you want to go into some personal details about what's happened in your personal life, feel free. Obviously, you know, only talk about things that you're comfortable talking with, but tell us more about your background.
Well, I was born in Lambeth Hospital in August 1967, so I was very much a hangover from the World Cup victory.
Okay.
my dad did go to Wembley that day. I was living in southeast London in Walworth until my mum and dad split up when I was 15. That was quite a difficult time. I went to an all-boys school opposite the Kennington Oval, which I absolutely hated. I really did not like school. Mm-hmm. And I left school with, I think the best CIC I had was a grade 2 English. I did love English. I loved writing. I loved the imagination, and escaping the family circumstance was a big deal for me. So losing myself in books was a big thing because my dad was a violent alcoholic.
Okay.
When you grow up watching a parent hitting another parent, and it becomes the norm, and there isn't the safety net that there is now for people out there to reach out for help.
Yeah.
My dad left my mum and He committed suicide on the 3rd of January, 1987. I hadn't long been at my first job, actually, Christie's the Auctioneers. And I've got a few friends still that I keep in touch with from there. And I've had several jobs, and I left my last one at the London Stock Exchange in 2015.
Wow. What was the pathway from going from Christie's to ending up at the Stock Exchange?
It was very varied. I went to work for a couple of traffic signal repair companies. The first one, I had an argument with the MD.
Right.
I smacked him in the face and walked out. I had a few anger issues as a result of having them.
Right.
And the second one, the owner of the company did a runner to Spain with the company funds 3 months before I was due to get married to my wonderful wife, Michelle.
Really? Wow. And you got married to Michelle in 91, didn't you?
91, yeah.
We were discussing this before the show. We got married, not John and I got married, but we got married to our respective partners about 3 or 4 months apart, which I didn't realise until recently, which was pretty cool. So you joined Christie's at 16. Obviously, your career then took you to the heady heights of the stock exchange. I guess the pressure there was pretty intense.
It was. It led to me trying to kill myself on the 7th of September 2014. Private life wasn't great, work wasn't great, and it generated what I would call the perfect storm that I wasn't able to deal with at that particular time. And working in the city, it's very pressured.
Yeah.
Sure, you can earn a lot of money there, but is it worth your life? It would be my question. No, it's not. So I left there and started training as a driving instructor because I wanted to put a little something back in. And to do a teaching degree would have taken me several years. To do this, because I was living off the redundancy package, mm-hmm. I did it in 8 months.
Wow.
And it's I've not looked back since I've done it. I've met some wonderful people in that time. Pupils who have been struggling to pay for it.
Yeah.
Pupils with mental health issues, which I can very much relate to.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's a big passion of mine, mental health. And some of them would be struggling to pay for their lessons. So, you know, I'd chuck a few extras in to give them that boost that they needed. And whenever anyone passed their driving test, the first thing they said was, it's really given me confidence. I can now apply for the job that I want.
Yeah.
And that's what's led me
to where you are now.
Where I am now.
And we're going to find out more in a moment about what makes the community driving school so different. But just to clarify the point, when you started training as a driving instructor, it was with a traditional driving school.
It was, yeah.
It literally was pay for lessons, take you through the test, and that was it.
So yes, it was.
It's a driving school as we know driving schools.
Absolutely.
Which is obviously, we're going to go on to it in a moment, why what you're doing now is so different to what people would know as a normal driving school.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk about the driving school itself. So how is it different how is the community driving school different to a normal driving school, and how does it help people?
The first thing that makes it different is it's not for profit. It's a community interest company.
Okay.
And I've been learning about them on this journey
CICs.
That I've been on.
Yeah.
They're still quite new. So funders tend to take a bit of we're not too sure what a community interest company is. Because with a charity, you know what it is. But then there are people at charities earning six-figure salaries. So
Yeah.
As a community interest company, I take a great deal of pride in my reputation, particularly as we're new. And what the scheme is, although it's called Community Driving School, it's a back-to-work program with driving as one of the key features, because in this modern world that we live in, people cannot apply for jobs without a driving license in most cases.
Right.
For example, you can go on to any of the job websites. I used Indeed.com and JobsInKent.com.
Okay.
And you can find jobs on there for cleaner, office administrator, cafe barista, barman, zoo worker. The key thing they all have in common, you must have a driving license.
Mm.
Not only is it for your mobility, but it's also a legal form of ID. And
do you know what? I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah,
makes sense. But yeah, I really hadn't thought of that, because employers won't take provisionals, will they?
No. And the thing that strikes me is, I believe I'm passionate about mental health.
Yeah.
And people in poverty don't choose to be there. And I regard poverty as much of a disability as mental health, as physical disability.
Mm-hmm.
You are discriminated against. You can't afford a driving license, therefore you're discriminated against by applying for those jobs. So I'm working with local businesses in Kent, and I would just like to say a big thank you to my MP, Sir Roger Gale, who has been instrumental in helping me get this to where it is. He's been amazing. He understands the true value of what it means, and knowing that, I mean, I first engaged with him when I said a driving license is more valuable than a degree, and his first reaction was, no, it's not, a degree is more valuable. So I used the example of your scientist who works at Porton Down. I've got a sideward glance. I said, yes, we all know what goes on at Porton Down. I know people that work there. They've got degrees like you wouldn't believe coming out of their what certain orifices. How do they get from where they live to Porton Down? Because there aren't any on-site accommodation facilities there. And with that one sentence, he'd gone from a bit sceptical to, I see what you mean. So the average debt for getting in, for getting a degree is in the region of £26,000 to £38,000, depending on what degree you're doing. That's not my figures. That's just go online and find it. And that, again, people in poverty prevented from getting a degree. But what's going to open more doors to getting a job, a degree or a driving licence? Not everybody's academic. I'm not.
Yeah.
Truly, I'm not. I haven't got the papers to do it. But although I did study for a psychology degree, but that's another matter. So, yes, we're a back-to-work programme with driving as one of the key competencies. We provide CV writing, interview skills, confidence building. We'll even provide smart clothing for interview if they haven't got the smart clothing. And this has all come about through fantastic donations from local businesses and also a couple of national businesses.
Well, if you want to mention them, then let's give credit where credit's due.
County Garage Ford in Herne Bay, absolutely brilliant. The car that I'm using, they've supplied. Lifestyle Signs, absolutely amazing. Emma there has been brilliant. Thank you, Emma. I know you're listening. Maven IT. Paul believed in the scheme so much he became a director. We've got Cracking Glass, who've made a wonderful donation. Beachshore, fairly marvellous. There's about 40 people, 40 companies involved.
Yeah.
Jarman Solicitors, again, I mean, you wouldn't think solicitors, everyone gets a bit shivery when you mention them, but
yeah.
Jay and his team have been absolutely brilliant.
That's Jay Sahota, isn't it?
Jay Sahota, yeah. Absolutely brilliant. I can't thank them enough. And it's just, it's credit to them that I'm at the place now where I'm looking to take this Kent-wide. I mean, there's a couple of people that I'm teaching at the moment. And if I may, I'd like to read what having a driving licence and going through the scheme.
Please do, please do.
A bit of background into this young lady. She was made homeless. She's 22 years old. She's a qualified photographer. And she does have some mental health issues.
Okay.
In her words, this is what she sent to me, and I defy anybody to not be moved after reading it. My name is Taylor, and I'm 22 years old. The past 6 months has been one of a huge roller coaster for me. I have gone from living with my mother to being homeless for almost 2 months. My whole life and routine has changed, and whilst all of this has been happening, I've been struggling with my mental health. I have always wanted to drive, and sadly it became a huge fear just over 3 years ago through tragic personal circumstances. I am now facing those fears, which is a huge step for me, and I see a happy and successful future. I never ever saw myself in this position, and am extremely lucky and grateful. I would love to be freelance in photography, so a driving license will open all the doors for me. Thank you for helping John get this project off the ground and supporting people like me to have a brighter future and knowledge that someone believes in me. It is quite simply life-changing.
Wow. That's quite something, isn't it? Wow. That is quite emotional. So how many individuals do you come across that are in a similar situation to Taylor? Obviously, the mental health issue, it's not like a physical disability where you can actually see a problem. It's obviously, for a lot of people that struggle with mental health, and for those of you that know me, you know the situation with my brother. It's hidden for the most part. And sometimes the ones that struggle the most with it are the ones that are the quietest about the problem. And we're not necessarily talking about people that are suicidal, because that is a growing problem in this country. But people that struggle with mental health and just depression and trying to find their worth in the world, it's a very hidden condition for the most part. I mean, how many people do you come across on a regular basis that are just struggling with these problems?
I would say in excess of 70% of the people that I deal with. Right. And it's quite a tragic indictment that some of the 17 to 24-year-olds that I deal with, if they themselves haven't attempted suicide, they know someone who has in their peer group. And that's why the confidence you can get through driving, through having a driving license, to getting out of that particular rut that you're in.
Yeah.
It's vital. It plays a key role in our health. It really does. And like you said, mental health in particular is a hidden killer. My wife had no idea what was happening that Sunday morning. Absolutely no idea. She came downstairs to find this dribbling wreck crying on the floor with a knife by my side. And it's not something that those closest to you can really talk about, because it's a bit taboo. Ford have done a good advert recently, the elephant in the room, the two guys in a van, not talking, kind of trying to broach the subject of, I've got a mental health problem. And that's one way of opening up to it. But one thing about Kent, and I know that there are a lot of listeners in Kent, Kent's got higher than national average suicide amongst males. One 16 in 100,000 compared to the national average of 14 in 100,000. Okay, it may only be two, but isn't that two too many?
Yeah.
In reality, isn't that 16?
16 too many. That's what I was going to say.
And you think, how much of that is down to being in a situation that they can't control? I would say almost all of it. No one in their right mind would want to commit suicide. I wasn't.
No.
But you're not in control of yourself because of the hopelessness of the situation around you. You think, I can't change it. What can I do to change it? So community driving school was born out of that. It can give people that help. It can bring that confidence to you that you may not have had. And I'm doing a questionnaire with my pupils that asks them how confident they feel in themselves before, during and after the driver training.
Yep.
And it backs up. It's real hard evidence that a driving license gives them confidence, self-worth, self-belief, and opens doors for them that they didn't previously have.
And I think raising the whole matter of mental health issues can't be a bad thing.
Absolutely not.
Like you say, in some corners, there's still a stigma to it, quite wrongly. And I think raising the awareness and making it, you know, obvious that more people struggle with that than perhaps the statistics would like us to believe.
And I'm sure food plays a part in that as well. I mean, I turn to food when I'm depressed, which is why I'm a bit of a lump at the minute. I mean, listening to your show, you've got to listen to get the good foods in you, get some exercise in you, but it's not that easy to just do that. You need the advice of a professional.
You need to work with someone who can support you and help you. Absolutely
you do.
So how does the mechanics of the very quickly, how does the mechanics of the scheme work? So you're funded by other companies, and you provide your time to the student for effectively for free, but in return, what do they do to earn that time?
Right, what will happen is I work with various charity partners, Kent Enterprise Trust, Be Change, Thanet Volunteer Bureau, Ashford Volunteer Bureau. They will identify the people in need. Mm-hmm. They know their people best. I will then interview them. I will walk them through the questionnaire. But in order to get on to that, past that interview stage, they've got to commit to doing 50 hours voluntary work within the community.
Right.
And that will be mentored by the charity partner. So it increases their CV skills. Suddenly they're developing work experience. They'll get a referee out of this. Building their confidence by doing the work. We will sort out to make sure it's something that they enjoy. It isn't just I've got to go and do this. But why 50 hours? The government state that the national average to pass your driving test in the UK is 47 hours. We've rounded it up to 50 and include the driving test on that. And if it takes more, well, I have to build that into the budget.
Right.
Because it's £23 per hit on the theory test, and it's £62 on the practical test per hit plus the time. So we build that into the quotes. We've got some funding from Tesco, KCC. We are hoping to get some from a couple of bids that I've got in with Kent Enterprise Trust. We're hoping to get some funding there.
And Theo Pifitis, I think that's worth a mention.
I won a small business award.
Yeah, well done. That's really
from
good.
Theo Pifitis, mm-hmm. Small Business Sunday, and I owe a lady called Ray a lot for that. I met her at one of the networking events, and she is a remarkable person.
Mm-hmm.
I owe her a lot, so thank you, Ray, if you're listening.
That's fantastic. So what are your plans for the coming year? Obviously, there's been a big growth in the business. Where does it go from here?
That's a good question. I am hoping that we get funding to train as many people as possible. Now, it all depends on that person's skill as to how quickly they get, if they get through first time. It's growing so quickly that it's in danger of swamping me, but I don't mind. It's a good swamping.
It's a nice problem to have, isn't it?
It is. Mm. And I can only thank those businesses again. They've been wonderful. I want to get as many people as I can. I want to at least get Taylor through.
Yeah.
And there's a young lady called Tyne who's going through tomorrow. Her background story, she will reveal all, which you can catch up with on my website, and I'll forward on to you, Neil. She's got a very, very disturbing past, not of her own choosing.
Right.
And she takes her driving test tomorrow. And whenever you see her, she's always got a smile. And when you listen to what she's been through,
mm-hmm.
She's a remarkable person.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So if businesses are out there listening to the show and think they'd like to be involved, what sort of businesses are you looking at to provide you with support, and what sort of support can they give to you?
Well, that's a good question. I'm looking at corporate social responsibility. When I worked in the city, reputation was the be-all and end-all. It was everything.
Mm-hmm.
And a firm can be driven and is impacted by its corporate social responsibility. And it does play a huge part in how people shop, how they choose their business partners. For example, look back at the 70s and 80s, Formula One. A lot of them were sponsored by cigarette companies. Mm. Doesn't happen now.
No.
That's corporate social responsibility in action.
Yeah.
Be associated with the right cause can make a massive difference to anyone. So I believe that we're the right cause. We're young, we're different, we're vibrant. And as you've mentioned, there's nothing like us. We're the only one in the UK. People can visit the website or they can email me at kentoffice@thecds.org.uk. Just drop an email, and I'm currently working on getting the landline installed. So, as I say, Roger Gale called us embryonic, and we are, but we're rapidly breaking out of that embryo, and we're becoming a noisy youth, I would say.
So just to reiterate, the website address is www.thecds.org.uk. And just to close here, if there's a potential or a prospective student that's out there listening, how would they know whether what you offer is right for them, or whether they are right for you?
They would need to speak to one of my local charity partners. So that's Kent Enterprise Trust, Thanet mm-hmm. Bureau, Be Change. We are looking to partner up with the DWP, but I haven't got sufficient funding to do that just yet. Right. I have been contacted directly by certain pupils, but you know, everything's on hold until I get a big stream of funding.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pot that I've got has been wonderfully donated to by some local businesses, but it's just about covering fuel and other bits that I've got to get done.
Just day-to-day expenses.
Yeah.
And finally, you have an event coming up in June. Do you just want to mention that very briefly at Tesco's in Whitstable?
Tesco's Whitstable, 23rd of June. We're having a community fun and press day. Rosie Duffield, MP for Canterbury and Whitstable, will be joining us. And we're hopefully trying to reach out to any high-profile people to come along. There'll be all my sponsors there, hopefully. There'll be a bouncy castle. There'll be slush puppy machine and some cars to look at. So come along to Whitstable on the 23rd of June. Come and meet us, say hello, and hopefully there'll be a couple of pupils there as well.
Fantastic. Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show this morning, John. It's been great to find out more about you as an individual, because that gives context and that gives depth to the individual, but also to find out more about the driving school, and to get some clarity as to what it is, what it does, and essentially how it's trying to change the world. So again, thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thanks for having me, Neil. And I just want to say, if mental health is a vital part, and that's why this show exists, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking after our physical selves and also our mental selves. So thank you.
Nah, thank you, John. Was Betty Davis Eyes by Kim Carnes, another classic from 1981. You're listening to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my special guest on the show this morning, you've just heard from him, John Nicholson from the Community Driving School. If you'd like to tweet into the show, the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show, or on Facebook, search Health Matters Radio Show, and you can make contact with me and ask for a shout out or a mention on the show. And if you'd like to contact me directly, you can go to my website, i-nutrition.co.uk. You can also listen again to previous shows, either via my website on the media page, or if you go to iTunes, you can listen to the show's podcast if you search the Health Matters Radio Show. So we're going to, for the next 5 minutes or so, we're going to have a chat about food labels, because it's been in the press recently about the importance of reading food labels and understanding what they are and interpreting the data that is put on the food labels by the food manufacturers. I would argue, and this is only my personal opinion, that the food, the data that's put on food labels is made, shall we say, a little bit ambiguously. It's a little bit confusing. People don't really understand what they're reading. And that's compounded sometimes with the food manufacturers that put traffic light systems on packets of food, and they don't put them in colour. And they just give them, they just quote the amounts or the percentages. And to be honest with you, people just don't know what they're looking at. So when we look at nutrition labels on the back or the side of packaging, they're normally in a panel or they're in a grid, and they give lots of useful information. I think it's just useful information on things like energy, so calories, the amount of fat, saturated fat, carbohydrates, sugars, protein, fiber, etc., etc. And they tend to quote per portion size, or they quote per 100 grams, and that's important. And we will come back to that in a moment, because portion sizes differ between what a manufacturer classes as a portion size and what we would class as a reasonable portion size. So if a food's got more than 17.5 grams of fat per 100 grams, so if it's more than 17.5%, then it's classed as being high fat. And if it's less than 3 grams of fat per 100 grams, or again, less than 3%, it's classed as being low fat. Saturated fats, more than 5% or 5 grams per 100 gram is classed as being high saturated fat, and less than 1.5 grams per 100 grams or 1.5% is low saturated fat. Sugars, 22.5% is high, and less than 5% is low. And salt, more than 1.5 grams per 100 grams or 1.5% is classed as being high. And 0.3 of a gram or 0.3% is classed as being low. So you can use those basic guidelines of what's high and what's low to really get control over what you're eating in terms of particularly fat content, specifically saturated fats, but also sugar and salt as well. So most supermarkets now stock food that have food labels on them. And I would say over the last 10, 15 years, that's been a really good move. But the problem is they are quite difficult to understand. So when you look at the food labels, you see things like energy, so calories and fats and sugar and salts and what have you. And in recent years, the traffic light system has come into play. Now, I would argue that calling it the traffic light system in some cases is a little bit stretching the bounds of truth, because it's like having traffic lights that have grey and grey. You know, it's very difficult to understand what the numbers mean if you haven't got the colours. And this was highlighted on a recent TV show where supermarket brands, their own brands, were actually putting the traffic light system in colour. So you had the greens, you had the ambers, and you had the reds. But the big food manufacturers were still quoting numbers on their traffic light systems, but they were using grey boxes. And unless you really understand what those numbers mean in the grey boxes, then the food label is almost irrelevant. Essentially, red means high, amber means medium, and green means low. So if you pick up a foodstuff and it's mostly green, you know straight away that it's a healthier choice. Notice I said healthier and not healthy, because you can compare like for like. But then certain cans of fizzy drinks with no sugar and no calories will be green on their label. Doesn't necessarily make it healthy, okay? So just bear that in mind. You can be deceived by a sea of green on a label. Amber means it's neither high nor low. It's kind of somewhere in the middle, so you should probably eat it in moderation. Ideally, avoid it. And anything in red means it's high in fats or high in sugars or high in salts. And I would suggest, rather than cutting those down, you should cut those out of your diet. The thing to bear in mind as well is that when food manufacturers put these labels on their food, they do it for their own advantage as well. So if you take a bag of popcorn, for example, on the label, it will be green, or maybe there might be one amber in there, perhaps, for sugar. And you'll think initially, oh, that's actually quite healthy. And then you look a bit deeper and you look at the small print and it says per portion, and this pack contains 8 portions. Now, when you open a bag of popcorn, eating an eighth of a bag is not, for the most part, for most people, practical. They would tend to eat half a bag or the whole bag. And if the nutrition label, if the traffic light label was based on the package size and not the portion size, it would be red across the board. So don't be deceived with the traffic light system. It is a good guide at a glance as to what's healthy and what's not healthy or healthier. But you need to look at whether it's per portion size and how big that portion is. Some cereal brands are 30 grams And actually, some kids are eating 100 grams of it per day. So multiply those numbers by three, and suddenly they're not all green, they're all red. So start being aware of food labels and how the food manufacturers use them to their own advantage. And when you look at the ingredients list, well, ingredients are listed in order of priority or order of weight. So if in the first five ingredients of a particular foodstuff you see sugars, I would tend to walk away from them. And there are some foods that have multiple sources of sugar in them. And sugar, as you would know from previous shows, are not good. And they are a massive driver of things like type 2 diabetes. So start being wise about the food you're eating. It's really important. If you want any more information, then please give me a shout via my website. Just a reminder as well, I'm on the 100 million mission. So I'm on a mission to educate 100 million people by the year 2030 about how to reverse type 2 diabetes. So please do share the word, spread the word about the radio show. I'll be very grateful. You can listen again to this show on my media page and also on iTunes podcast. Search the Health Matters Radio Show. I'd like guests to come on to the show in June and July. So if you're interested on coming on to the show, as John has done this morning, and promoting yourself and your business, then please make contact with me. And if you have any questions in the meantime you'd like me to answer, then please do send me a tweet or drop me an email. I'll be happy to help you out. Again, I'd like to thank John for coming on the show this morning. It's been great to have you on the show, John. And if you'd just like to remind listeners of your website one more time.
It's www.thecds.org.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, John. Thanks for coming on again. And I'd like to leave you with one more song from 1981. It is a classic, and it is at John's request. John did ask me to play this song, and it is a classic, as you'll hear from the intro, by a fantastic band called Ultravox. It's Vienna. It was kept off the number one slot by Shut Up Your Face by Joe Dolce, which is a travesty in my opinion, but that's a whole different subject. So until next time, have a great week, stay healthy, and enjoy Vienna.
Cold air, freezing breath on a window pane, lying and waiting. A man in the dark in a picture frame, so mystic and soulful. Reaching out in a piercing cry, it stays with you until is weaving haunting notes, pizzicato strings, the rhythm is calling. Alone in the night as the daylight brings a cool empty silence. The warmth of your hand and a cold grey sky, it fades to the distance.